Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our goal is to make Christ visible in everything that we do. This week, Dr. Shaw begins a brand new series titled Hosanna, where we look at this word of praise, trace its history through the Old Testament, and figure out what it means for us today as believers. God wants to save us. In fact, He delights in saving us. Being saved by God is not a sign of weakness. It's our prerogative as His children. Now let's listen to this week's message.
This past Tuesday was St. Patrick's Day, and due to the coronavirus situation, many of the parades all across our country were canceled. And needless to say, a lot of people were disappointed. Well, I don't believe they were disappointed because they couldn't celebrate the life of St. Patrick. They were disappointed because they couldn't get out and have a good time with their family and their friends. Now, 2,000 years ago, there was also a parade, and some people tried to cancel that parade, but they couldn't. It was the parade for Jesus as He came into Jerusalem. Instead of clover leaves, the people held palm branches in their hands. Instead of some drinking songs or Irish drinking songs, they sang the old Psalms. They cried out, Hosanna, Psalm 118. As you can see behind me, the palm leaves, they are preparing us for the season that we're about to go into to celebrate Good Friday and then Easter. And so with that in mind, I'm doing this four-week series titled Hosanna. Now here's the message of this series. God wants to save us. In fact, that is His character. He is the Savior God. He delights in saving us. In fact, He wants us to ask Him, to look to Him to be saved. Being saved by God is not a sign of weakness. In fact, it is our prerogative as His children. It's a blessing to be able to call to God and say, God, save us. So, our first message is from John chapter 12, but we're going to be in the Old Testament most of the time. But let's all stand as we read God's Word together. John chapter 12 and verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet Him. And they cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when He had found a young donkey, He sat on it, and as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your King is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. But listen to verse 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first. Oh, they knew the Old Testament, but they didn't make the connection. But when Jesus was glorified, after He was resurrected, then they remembered that these things were written about Him. You know, when the Holy Spirit came, Jesus had promised that He would bring to their memory. But more than just a reminder, it was going to be a revelation that they will read the Old Testament with a whole new set of eyes. And listen to this. Then they remembered that these things were written about Him and that they had done these things to Him. Before we pray, did you know that God desires to save us? Did you know that He is our Savior God? Saving is not a chore for Him. It does not disrupt His daily routine. He wants to save every single moment. He wants to save us. And I'm talking to believers. You say, oh, I'm saved. But are you trusting Him with your predicament? The trial that you're facing, the trial that all of us are facing right now. Are you trusting Him? Are you pleading with Him to save us? And if you're not saved, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to pray right now. Would you join me in prayer? A simple prayer that says, Jesus, I need you to be my Savior. To the best of my knowledge, I believe that you came, you died, you were buried, but you rose again. And you are the Son of God. And you died for my sins. And I need you to forgive me. Come into my life and be my Savior and my King. And I will follow you as you help me. When people first come to Clearview, they're somewhat amazed at how much I talk about being saved. Every message, they say, it's amazing how you begin and you say, are you saved? And then towards the end of the message or even during the sermon somewhere, I will say, this is what it means to be saved, and you need to be saved today. And then I end the message with the invitation to be saved. And sometimes they've come to me and asked me, if that's a Baptist thing, is that what Baptists do? Because the tradition they're coming from, they didn't hear that, the importance of being saved. So they asked me that, and I tell them again and again that it's not about a Baptist thing, it's a biblical thing. The Bible talks about being saved. The Bible talks about being delivered. The Bible talks about being rescued by God. In fact, that word Hosanna, it literally is a combination of two Hebrew words, Hosea and Anna. Now those words, what do they mean? The word Hosea or Hosea means save us or save me. And the word Anna is simply now or please. Please save us now. It's referring back to Psalm 118, where the psalmist says in verse 25, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity or blessing. And this was usually a prayer that they prayed after harvest, waiting for the rain. But this evening or today, we're going to just focus on how important is this concept that God wants to save us. This is not some secondary or tertiary doctrine. This is a very primary doctrine. God wants to rescue us. To the saved, He's already rescued you from sin and condemnation. But He wants to rescue you every single day, every single moment from whatever you're facing. God is not going to pull you out of the problem, but He's going to walk with you and rescue you every step of the way. His rescuing, His deliverance is not like getting us out of here. His rescuing, His deliverance is helping us make it through whatever we're facing. So, let's do a quick survey from the Old Testament. What does that mean that God is our Savior and He loves to rescue us? Well, let's begin with the first book in the Bible. Scholars consider the book of Job as that first book. Job chapter 5, verse 11, it says, He sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. Same word, Yeshua. Lifted to safety. Job 40, verse 14. Now God is speaking to Job. Remember that time where everything is done and God questions Job and He says to him, then I will also confess to you, Job, that your own right hand can save you. What God is saying here is, Job, if you think you can do what I do, then I'm going to let you save yourself. I mean, it's a sarcasm. And what the answer is, no, God, I cannot save myself. I need you in my life. I need your help. That's the book of Job. Let's jump over to Exodus. When God's people were in slavery in Egypt, He sent Moses to rescue them. But it's really God who was rescuing them. So we listen to Exodus 14, verse 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Remember, the Egyptians were coming, Pharaoh's army, the chariots were chasing them down. He said, do not be afraid. Stand still and see. What's the word? Same word, Yeshua. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And He will accomplish for you today, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And repeatedly in the book of Exodus, God is the Savior. He saves them. He rescues them. He delivers them again and again. Now, after they were in the promised land, God sent judges to rescue them. One example that comes to my mind is Gideon in Judges 7, verse 2. If you remember the situation, the Midianite army was very big, almost 4-1. And Gideon had about 32,000 men. And God says, that's too many. Listen to what he says in verse 2. He said, Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Wait a minute, too many? The Midianites are far more, four times more. But listen to God's reasoning. Lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. God says, too many people, because if they win, they're going to say, oh, because of the number of soldiers we had, because of our chariots, or because of our horses, or because of our skills, our strategy, that we defeated the Midianites. God said, too many. Give the people a choice. If they're afraid, go home. And Gideon did. He said, if you're afraid, go home. 22,000 walked away. And now only 10,000 are left. And God says, still too many. And as you remember the incident, God takes them down to a water hole. You got to drink water. And he tells Gideon, watch for them. The ones who lap up the water like a dog, they are the ones who need to stay. And guess what? Out of the 10,000, only 300. And God said, perfect. Perfect? God, that is crazy. No, God says that's perfect because they cannot say their own hand has saved them. Now I will get the glory, says God. And he did. The Midianite army was vanquished. After the judges came the kings. But the formula did not change. I'll just give you one example very quickly for time's sake. Remember the incident where David came up against Goliath? Saul was afraid. His army was afraid. David's own brothers were afraid. And David came and said, what's going on? Why are you letting this person talk this way? We have God on our side. He will come to rescue us. He will come to save us. And they're like, get out of here. And then somehow he got before Saul, and Saul tried to put his armor on him, and David could not even walk with that armor because it was not the armor that was going to save David. And then there's a showdown. Can you picture this? Here's this Philistine giant, and there is this little shepherd boy, David. But listen to what David said to the Philistine. He said, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Did you hear that? The word deliver, same word is being used. And I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. And I can imagine this army of Saul and Saul's brothers are saying, oh no, you know, you're really making him mad. But he doesn't stop there. He says, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save. Guess what? The same word, Yeshua, is being used here. The Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. Hey, listen, throughout Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, when the kings trusted in their own might, they failed. They lost. But when they trusted in God, they won. Now, trusting is not sitting back and saying, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to take it easy, and I'm just kind of giving up. No, trusting in is saying, God, I will do whatever you call me to do, And I will work hard and I will work smart, but ultimately I know that it's you. You have given me the ability to do what I'm doing, and I'm doing it for you. In the wisdom books, it is not cunning and strategy that saves, but again, the Lord. Sometimes people come to the book of Proverbs, and I love the book of Proverbs. You know, that's where you learn how to live skillfully, but skillfully does not mean to live without God. You still need God in your life. You still need God to guide you and to direct you. Listen to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22. Do not say, I will recompense evil, but wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Hey, listen, this is in the book of Proverbs. You know, people say, oh, that's such a practical book. Yes, it is. That's so, applicable to my daily life, my business, my relationship. Yes, it is. And I preach from it, and I just finished a short series on it. But don't think that this book negates God's rescue in our lives. Here's another verse, Proverbs 22, verse 21, verse 31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, which means this: do your best, use the knowledge you have, use the skills you have, use the education you have, use the connections you have that God has given to you, but deliverance is of the Lord. Proverbs 28, verse 18. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. Which means this: let's be holy. Let's not compromise. Let's not lose the standard of righteousness God has given to us. We're not going to lose if we keep that in mind. Let's keep rolling for time's sake. Over 100 times the prophets call upon the people to look to the Lord to save. I don't have time to go through all the references that I've been going through here. I'm just picking and choosing. But let's listen to Isaiah 45, verse 21. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient times? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. Did you know that one of God's titles, names, is Savior? There is none beside me. Look to me and be saved. Isn't that beautiful? Are you struggling right now? Are you lying awake at night wondering what's going to happen next? How are you going to make ends meet? What is the rest of the year looking like? Look to him and be saved. And it'll take us to another level of whatever you're doing, whether it's your work, business, family, relationships, health, church life, is going to take us to another level of effectiveness. Jeremiah says something similar. Listen to Jeremiah 15, 20. God says, and I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall, and they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you. God does not say you're not going to have trials or fights will not come. That's never been promised. So deliverance does not mean exemption from struggles and trials. It means God is going to be with you. Just look to him. Hosea chapter 14. Verse 1, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. So who are you trusting in to save you? Is it people, institutions, government? I'm grateful for our government and all the good that is going on and all the packages that are coming down to help people in need, to help people with unemployment, and to help people who are facing sickness or whatever. And I'm grateful, but that's not my source of strength. My source of strength is God. I pray for my leaders, but I trust in God. And that's what Hosea is saying over here. Listen to Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Now imagine having a trial like him going into the belly of this great fish, and he is at the bottom of the ocean, and he says, "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." That word salvation, again, is the same, coming from the same root word. It's a derivative of Yeshua, Jesus. They're all connected. All these words are connected. And finally, in the Psalms, it's everywhere. You know, in the hymn book of ancient Israel, every hymn had something about God's salvation. Because those are prayers. Those are songs of thanksgiving. Those are songs of lament. Those are messianic psalms and songs. Every one of them. In fact, 40% of them are nothing but, "Lord, save us." Let me read for you a couple very quickly. Psalm 28 and verse 8. "The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance." Same word. Psalm 44 verse 6. "For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us." God, you saved us. You saved us. "In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever," says the psalmist. In him we boast. Psalm 80 verse 3, "Restore us, O God, cause your face to shine and we shall be saved." We shall be saved. Psalm 119, 94, "I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. As I seek your truth, as I seek Jesus, God, you will save me. Save me from this crisis. Save me from some other situation you're struggling with. Save me from whatever trial that you're going through." And finally, Psalm 144, again, I can read for hours and hours every reference of Yeshua. We'll be here all night, all day. Psalm 144, verse 9, "I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you, the one who gives salvation to kings." Again, the word is this word, Hosea. Same word. "Who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword." Hosea, Yehoshua. This is our Savior God, our salvation. Let me repeat it again, what I said in the beginning. God wants to save us. In fact, that's one of his titles, our Savior God. He delights in saving us. He's not a God who goes, "Oh, here we go, I got to save you again. I already just saved you. Why do I need to save you through this one?" No, he delights in it. He wants it. We have to ask for him. And he loves to hear the voice of his children calling on him to save us. Tonight or today, many of us need to bow before God, get on our knees before God and say, "God, save us." And on the authority of God's word, he will answer our prayers, whatever our needs are. God wants to save. Being saved by God is not a sign of weakness. It is our prerogative as his children. He wants us to have this privilege. He's given us the tools. Sometimes his salvation comes in opening a door for us. Sometimes his salvation comes in an interaction with somebody who doesn't know the Lord. And as you go into this trial, somehow that person knows Christ, comes to know Christ, and their life has changed. I believe what's happening in America is not what's happening to America, but what's happening for America. Can you imagine? We come out through this crisis, whatever your opinion is, but we come through it and there's a mighty revival. Was it worth it? Absolutely worth it. We've been praying for this for decades. God, send a revival. What better time? And God is doing some massive shakeup, and that's fine. What is needed from us is to be ready to give people Jesus. Jesus. You know what his name is? In Matthew 1:21, It says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So as Jesus was walking through the streets of Palestine 2,000 years ago, everywhere he went, people were not going, so what does your name mean? His name was God Save Us. That's what it meant. His name meant Savior. And for us, reading in English, it's a hard thing to understand. The word Jesus and Savior seems like two different words, but not in Hebrew. And for a Jewish person in those days, every time they opened their Bible, which was just the Old Testament, they saw that name everywhere. Tonight, in this message, we just did a brief survey. All the way from Job to Psalms, just a brief survey of that word, Hosea, Yehoshua, Savior. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? As a believer, you can call on him anytime. But if you're not a believer, tonight, today, you need to give your heart to him. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, he says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, listen, you will be saved. You will be rescued. God is waiting for you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. He's waiting to rescue you from your sin, to apply the forgiveness from the cross of Jesus Christ to your life. He's waiting to do that. All you have to do is look to him and live. Again, pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I need to be saved. And I believe, to the best of my ability, I believe that you are God's Son who came, died on the cross for my sins, buried but rose again. And I need you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and take over. Be my Savior, but also be my King. And I will follow you. I will follow you, my King, the rest of my life. And thank you for saving me. And if you prayed that prayer, come, kneel on these steps and thank God for saving you. And for the rest of us, what better time to say, God, save us. And God will give you the strength. God will give you the wisdom. God will give you his peace, his grace. In fact, he will be those things to you. Jesus is everything to us. We have to simply ask him. This trial will also pass. Trust him. As we stand together, God is speaking to your hearts. You come.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message. God has always been about saving his children. Salvation has been on the heart of God since before the foundation of the world was laid, and it's our job as believers to share that message of hope with everyone that we meet. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org, and for this sermon's notes and other additional resources, check out Dr. Shah's blog at abadanshah.com.